All right.
Well, Pastor Mary touched on a topic about discerning God's voice and how that affects us in healing, faith, and other areas. So ever since David Maloney came by and was teaching on being led by the Spirit, a message stirred from James 3, verse 17. So if you want to turn there, I'm going to talk about motives. James 3, verse 17. I'd like to talk about motives. Let's pray. Thank you. We thank you, Father, for your word. Lord, we just draw on your word and thank you, Lord, for the power therein. We thank you, Lord, that there's power on it. And as we behold it and see these words for ourselves, we thank you, Lord, for light and revelation to all of us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for leading us into new areas of understanding your word, a new light on them, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So James 3. So we'll talk about motives because in this, but I'll read this verse first to clarify here. It says, we'll start in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So I want to emphasize that teaching on pure. That I just got flooded with the teaching on pure, and not in the sense of maintaining godly and righteous habits and being free from sin, but in the sense of he's talking about the wisdom from above. So there's a voice from heaven that's pure, and that's the voice we need to receive from if we're receiving healing, faith, inspiration. We need to have that voice pure and uncluttered. And the voice is described as pure. The wisdom from above is described as pure. So I'm going to talk about some motives that contaminate that purity. And primarily today we'll talk about fear. And if you recognize, it'll help us locate ourselves and help us realize what the Bible says about fear. And there's been a lot of teaching on it. But primarily that's the motive we'll probably touch on today. So that's so he says, the wisdom that is from above, because we want to be led by God, and these things will contaminate. I'll read some definitions of pure first that I just looked up in a really old Webster dictionary. It's, you know, that thick, and it's still got, the early Webster dictionaries have so much scripture reference in their examples. So if you look up, say, behold, it'll say, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It's great to have an old Webster dictionary. It's just lots of fun. And you get some older definitions and more classic definitions. So it says, not mixed is a definition of pure. Uncontaminated, unmixed, undiluted, unalloyed. Like if you're dealing with metals, you know, it's not mixed with anything like pure gold or pure steel. Or I guess steel is a mix of some, isn't it? But it says pure iron, I guess you could say. And without any unnecessary elements, free of any contamination. And then other synonyms are this: clean, clear, fresh, unpolluted, uncontaminated, untainted, and uncontaminated. It's uncluttered. And I think of the voice of God, it's much easier if we rid ourselves of clutter. And the cluttering voice I want to talk about today is fear, because there is a voice of fear. And you guys know this, but let's behold it again. Pastor Mary's been talking about this, but there's something to beholding the Word in front of your face and gazing on it like you would if Christ were there and treating the Word that way. It's just a powerful practice and attitude to have towards the Word. So let's look at 2 Timothy 1:7, a scripture we know a lot about. Take off this jacket now. And it says, well, you guys know what it says, right? And I'm in the wrong Timothy. All right, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So if the voice if the voice is pure and uncontaminated by fear, it makes sense that the Spirit of God is pure also. So the Spirit of God, He's a spirit of fear. I mean, a spirit not of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So we've got that voice inside. We've got that pure voice that speaks, and it's outside of fear. And a lot of times with healing and stuff, we're tempted to get afraid. There are fearful voices coming. And more, I'm going to be sharing more on listening to the voice of God, but it'll help us in all areas. So it's a little bit different direction than maybe Pastor Mary was going with some of these teachings, but I just felt real strong about it, and I believe it'll bless us. So we've got Psalm 27 also. It's a good scripture on fear and what our attitude should be toward it. And you think of the things David went through, and he's writing Psalm 27, and he's hiding in a cave from a king who wants to kill him. A jealous or envious, I guess, envious king, you could say. I used to read this a lot in high school. It was one of my favorite verses. And I was not a large-framed little guy, so I liked to meditate on protection of God, because I was a skinny little guy, and so I'd meditate on these and meditate on God's strength. And it says, Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And the answer implied here is of no one. And we should be afraid of no one. I think the author's intent there, you can see, it's we're not to be afraid of anyone. There's not supposed to be any fear in our hearts. Because the Lord is our light and our salvation. He's a strength of our life. I used to meditate on these a lot when I was working security. I've told some of you this story before, just getting to know you and, in fellowship and stuff. But when I was working security once, there was a lot of gang activity in our neighborhood. And one day a car came screeching to a halt in the middle of campus, and these kids got out, and the police were chasing them with guns drawn and wanted help to look for them. And they, I ran up to them to help them. And I just had a really clear picture, I believe, from the Holy Spirit and from my inward witness. And I knew where one of the kids was hiding. And there was such a peace and a calm. And I went to investigate and I said, "Hey, will you guys come with me?" So they said, "Yeah." I said, "I think I know where these kids might hide." And I went to this dumpster in an alley. And he was right behind the dumpster, just like I pictured him. And there was no fear to it. Just no fear. There was such a peace. But they all had guns drawn because they were wanted for theft. And, I don't know what they were wanted for if they'd been armed. But God gave me a real peace about it in the midst of that. And they all had, all of them, guns out, kicking the bushes, checking all over campus because it was summertime, kind of hot, and there's just a little bit more crime out sometimes in those temperatures and stuff. People, just being rowdy. And so after that, I went back to the security office. The police had all left, and an alarm went off in the bottom of the building that houses the girls because it was a school campus. And so I thought, oh man, one of these kids is hiding in the back. My mind just started to race down this path, and I thought, oh brother. And now the police are all gone, and I went in there with my flashlight and my baton into where the alarm was going off, and it's a dark hallway. It's very narrow. You can't see what's around the corner. And I just remember the Lord spoke to me so clearly. He said, "You feel that? You feel that?" And I said, "Yeah." And I was tense and just like, I'm going to have to fight somebody. I do, So I'm just ready for that. And he said, "You feel that?" He said, "That's not me." He said, "This is just a fluke in the computer." And he just spoke so clear to me and brought that peace and just quelled all that fear. And that's what we need every day when Satan lies or things come up or you see symptoms in your body. Or the bills look too high, or your car breaks down, and you hadn't planned on it. We need that boldness. We need to find that still voice, and it's pure. And we're talking about that pure voice, and today we're talking specifically about fear. And I don't mean to get you afraid. I don't want you to meditate on the fear side, but meditate on what these scriptures say about fear. And we do not need to heed that voice and that anxiousness. And if you get that in any area of life, you can zone in on the pure voice of God. It won't be that. And we'll talk about a little bit of distinction later because there's kind of a caution sometimes that God will bring you that we don't want to confuse with fear. But let's go to 1 Peter 2. And if you can hold a place in Psalm 91, because there's plenty in Psalm 91 about fear also. And we'll come back to that. But so if you want to mark a place in Psalm 91, well, you go to 1 Peter 2. Let's look at that. 1 Peter 2. First Peter 2:17. We'll go down through verse 19. It says, "Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, if you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God." See how he says, this phrase just stood out, and I felt led to share on this. Honor all people, fear God, honor the king. We're to have no fear of man. Honor the king. It doesn't say fear God, fear the king. And then you might say, well, that doesn't make sense, Josh, because it says be submissive to your masters with all fear. That's not, it says be submissive. It doesn't say fear your masters. It says be submissive in verse 18 with all fear. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God one endures grief. It's talking about our attitude toward God is fearful, not towards man. Man is not supposed to hold any fear over us. And on your job, at your workplace, at school, we're not to make decisions based on imposed fear either. So fear is a wrong voice and it misguides us. And we don't want to give place to it. It contaminates our ability to hear that pure and still and good voice of God. And that's why I'm sharing on it. And then let's look at Psalm 91 then. If you turn over to Psalm 91. In Psalm 91, I believe, like Pastor Mary has taught on and said, that it's prophetic of the New Testament believer, just like Psalm 23 points to things. You see a lot of this in Job, too. He points to deliverance. He says, oh, that there were a delivery. Oh, that there were deliverance from what I'm going through. Oh, that there were. And a lot of his cries are prophetic cries for a Savior. They are fulfilled through Christ. And Psalm has a lot of that, too. I mean, there's a lot of it in Job that's prophetic and speaks toward Christ and should encourage us, not to discourage us. So let's go to Psalm 91, verse 5. It says, "You shall not be afraid of the terror by night." These are people who are dwelling in the place of the Most High, the secret place, dwelling close to God. Look at what's a result of dwelling close to God. Like verse 1 says, we dwell in the secret place. We abide under His shadow. Someone also has said that when it says under His wings you take refuge, that's the angels of God guarding over His people. That it describes the wings, and it's talking about figuratively, it's using that description as the angels that watch over us, which is a powerful imagery. And I believe David knew of that imagery. I'm sure he believed in angelic protection. And so he says that, "You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday." I paraphrased this once in kind of modern talk. Say you're, especially if you're in the military, and David was, then he knows about the arrow that flies by day. And you can say that the enemy's flinging fiery darts, but if you're in the military, you want to believe against those bullets making contact with you, don't you? And this verse is for people in the military. I mean, it clearly applies. It's for all of us. But so I put, I'm not going to be afraid of bullets. And sometimes I'm on a firing range. I was meditating on this verse before I went and got one of my permits and was out on the range. And it was outside with a bunch of guys I don't know. I mean, a lot. We were a class of about 18 on this current one. And I was reading this, and it just dawned on me, I'm protected from that. Thank you, Lord. I just received what it could mean for us in modern times. And I'll paraphrase it this. If it's true that you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow, you can read this verse like this. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. You shall not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day. You shall not be afraid of pestilence And we all know there are many things that qualify as pestilence that walks in darkness. You shall not be afraid of destruction that lays waste at noonday. So we are not to be afraid of night terrors. Any terror that's in a night, that could be nightmares. We're to be, have no presence of fear and not receive any of that. None of that's from God. It's not His pure voice. It's not His pure voice from James 3. This is a contaminant to our faith. And some people, you know, it's been taught and it's true. Fear is a, it's faith in what could happen. It's faith in lies from the enemy. It's faith in worry and fear. And it gives place to Satan. It's his turf. It's his realm. Just like a dictator of a small country or a dictator of a large country, they rule by fear. They keep their subjects in fear. It's not a good, pure voice. It's an ugly way to lead. And Satan leads his people that way. And he desires to lead as many Christians as will follow that way. And it's not a voice we should listen to. Correct. Do you agree? So he says, and I like to read it this way. You won't be afraid of the terror by night. Or I say any night terrors. I won't be afraid of bullets flying at night. Because it says the bullets. It says arrows that flies by day. I won't be afraid of bullets at the day. I won't be afraid of pestilence in darkness. I won't be afraid of destruction at noonday that lays waste. I envision when he says destruction that lays waste at noonday, that could be, he could still be speaking from a soldier realm. But I think of a lot of storms like tornadoes and earthquakes. They happen during the day. A lot of other types of weather happen at night, like snowstorms and rain showers often happen at night. But really violent destruction does often happen during the day. Earthquakes. So it's deliverance from that, deliverance from the fear of that also. It's deliverance from that. So we have no reason to fear. Even if, like verse 7 says, 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, it shall not come near us. And we're only to behold with our eyes. In other words, we're not supposed to experience in our bodies and in our lives some of the destruction that's happening around us. We've got divine protection from that destruction. But we are expected to maintain a closeness to Him so we can hear that good, pure voice. And He'll guide us out of so many things and lead us and He'll protect us. And the pestilence, you know, that can be disease or plagues. So anything that's a pest. So that pestilence at darkness, that could be anything. A lot of ugly things happen at night. You know, a lot of crime happens at night. There's a lot of awful things, burglaries and that. A lot of that happens at night. We're protected from that, and we're not to give place to fear. And that's surrounding us in the world. It's all over. It's floating through the air. It's floating through the news, on the radio waves, on the television. You know, we constantly see that stuff, but we're not to be moved by it. We're not to let that corrupt that good, pure voice that God wants to just rain down through us. That good, pure voice. It's a good, solid voice. We shouldn't have contaminants. And let's look at Deuteronomy 28. Just to kind of show here. Galatians 3:13. Can you guys quote that? Will someone quote Galatians 3:13? What does that say?
You're no longer cursed.
Yep. Yeah, will you read that, Hillary?
Yeah.
While we're turning to Deuteronomy 28.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.
Yep, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And we know from good Bible teachers and from the truth of the Word of God, Deuteronomy 28 lists many curses of the law. It lists them over and over. It repeats itself. You really get a good picture of what you're free from. And it's just a great place to meditate if you know Galatians 3:13. Otherwise, it can be kind of gross and annoying and discouraging. But if you have it in the light of Galatians 3:13, then you can really grab some victory here. So look at Deuteronomy 28:66. Look at this curse of not following God and not being close to Him, not obeying Him. This is a curse of the law that Christ redeemed us from. Galatians 28:66 says, your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night and have no assurance of life. That's under the curse of the law. So as a New Testament believer, I can say, I do not hang in doubt. I don't have fear day and night, and I have assurance of life. And then it says, this is the kind of fear. In the morning you shall say, oh, that it were evening, it sounds like, doesn't any of you in the workplace, have you not heard or possibly muttered this stuff yourself? You know, oh man, I can't wait till Friday. And then when it's Friday, oh man, you know, then when it's Sunday, oh man, I got to go back to work. It's just always never happy where we're at. Oh man, I got to do this. Oh man, I got to do that. And then in the evening they go, oh, you know, I got to get to work in the morning. And then in the morning they say, oh, now I got to wake up for work. And then while they're at work, they go, oh, I don't know how I'm going to sleep tonight. So it says, look at verse 67, because of the fear which terrifies your heart and because of the sight which your eyes see. We know we're not supposed to be moved by sight. And fear, it puts you in the sight realm. It puts you in the natural, looking at things, observing, making calculations and decisions based on your emotional reaction to what's happening. But God, He's delivered us from all that. He's freed us from it. That voice of fear ought to be shut up. It ought to really, really be shut up. And look at the trembling heart. Remember in 2 Timothy 1:7? Because look at verse 65 a little bit here. Deuteronomy 28:65. He said, there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and anguish of soul. Looking at trembling heart, another margin says anxious of soul. Or it says anxious heart, failing eyes, and anguish of soul. Verse 65. That's part of the curse of the law that we're redeemed from. Doesn't that sound like the opposite of 2 Timothy 1:7? That says a spirit of fear, a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Isn't that neat? How, and I believe the writers like Paul, I mean, think of how versed he was in the Old Testament. So they constantly are oozing this law from Moses, these books of Moses. They just ooze with it. He'd studied it like nobody else. He even says that about himself, that he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, and he would have been indoctrinated in Old Testament law and Scripture. And then as soon as he's filled with the Spirit, God brings to light all that stuff. So when he's writing to Timothy, I know that he knows Deuteronomy 28. And so look at the similarity. So God doesn't want us to have that. He wants us to have that pure, clear voice, uncontaminated, uncontaminated. There's not many better words than that there. All right. So fear is an enemy. It's the enemy's turf, just like as if a dictator would rule. All right. We'll shift gears a little bit here. Remember how it's described of Satan that he walks about like a roaring lion? But it says, as a roaring lion. That's like the voice of fear. He's as a roaring lion, but he's not one. He doesn't have the power. Excuse me. And we're to submit ourselves to God and resist Him. And then He'll flee from us. My dad grew up in kind of a real rural part and farms and... He told me a few stories recently. The kids started writing him, and they said, can we get some stories from Grandpa? And they said, we want to know how he grew up. So he called, and he talked about fun stories like he's driving a wagon behind a tractor, and he was just 5 years old or something, and he almost took his dad's legs off because he got close to a barn, and his dad's legs were hanging over the wagon. And so he told some funny, cute stories like that. But I remember, as a kid, because he's a little kid, a toddler on a tractor, that's cute, taking his dad's legs off, and his dad yelled something, I don't remember what, but he was a Christian man, he watched his language, but I'm sure he shouted loud. His dad didn't play around, he was a neat guy, my grandpa, so he's in heaven now, I hope, so that's, anyway. So he would tell cute stories like that, but I remember one because I worked on a cattle farm, and that really amazed me. And we worked with these big. We had a bull named Mongo. It was this big bull, and you just didn't. The thing would, if you were on a three wheel and revved it, most of the cattle would just run in terror. You know, they didn't want to hear the sound of it. The little cattle dogs running around yipping at them. And they would run so far away, but Mongo was unafraid, and he was a good breeding bull, just full of beef. You know, just. And they were Angus cattle, so they raised them for beef. But man, he was intimidating to people if they didn't, you know. But this one farmer I had, he just wasn't afraid of anything. He was the farm manager, and I worked with him. But there was this superstitious, scrawny older man that was just, he would carry this big stick anytime he was around any of the cows, and he was so scared. He just was like a fear magnet. And to watch this guy, he was almost superstitious about animals. And some people in different parts are, you know, some people they're a little superstitious about dogs. They're scared of them. And this guy was, I don't know why I was working on a farm, because he would just yip and holler. And in a pen with cattle, that you can just, I mean, you hit a cow in the right place, you can get that thing to jump and move. There's certain nerves and things in their hindquarters. You hit them, they kick and they run. They're not, they're fairly tameable, and they follow a fence post pretty well. But this guy was the opposite of the kind of boldness we're talking about. Well, then my dad, as a young boy, he told the story of a bull similar to that, and I was... And this bull, he ended up in the middle of the field with it. And cows are, they're pretty, cattle, male and female, are fairly dumb. And they follow the fences, and they're pretty easy to control. But you got to know what triggers them. You have to have some knowledge. So this bull, my dad didn't have time. This bull was coming after him in the middle of a field. He didn't have time to make the fence, but he found a log, and he held up the log. And the cow, this big bull, just walks up to the log and stops because he thinks it's another fence row for him to follow along. And he just got the idea it was the only thing he could do before he gets trampled and gets, you know. And then he got another idea. He's like, well, what am I going to do now? If I drop the log, I can't make the fence. And if I back, the log's going to move. It might, you know. So then he realized that bulls are often led by a ring in their nose. And my dad has fairly large fingers. So he put his thumb and his middle finger in this bull's nose and grabbed him, and was just bold enough to be aggressive and take the initiative and grab this bull. So he put and plugged its nostrils, and then he could lead this giant animal around wherever he wanted. And to me, that's a picture of Satan, who's, he comes with this steam and this might and this weight, but it's all natural. It's all natural, and just with a little bit of knowledge, we can be undefeated and victorious and totally masters of our domain. And I've been reading a book on In Him, written by E.W. Kenyon, and he keeps pointing out the points that you are masters. You are masters in Christ. It's all in Christ, but you are absolute masters. You're masters over sickness and disease. We're to master them. We're to dominate this earth and what flows through its life. The church is supposed to be a victorious, mighty force, undaunted by anything, unshaken. And fear is a corrupt lie that gets sown into us sometimes. And we just have to treat it like a fiery dart and put up that faith and get in the Word and find out what belongs to us. And let that fear has nothing to do with the voice of God. And next week, next week I'll probably get into other motives, but I really wanted to, felt led to emphasize fear, and believe we have. But remember that picture of that bowl, please, and think of that next time fear comes. And I want to do a little bit of caution here, because there is an unease of spirit that's from God. There is an unease that you may sense that feels like fear, and I notice when something difficult is about to happen, often I'll have that unease. It's a dis-ease, not in a natural sense, like a disease or sickness, but it's literal dis-ease. There's a discomfort in your spirit. And sometimes that's a good time to just pray in the spirit and resolve that with the Lord. But it's not to be confused with fear and distinguish the difference. Because sometimes a believer will try to apply something that they want to fight and not yield to that dis-ease and that desire to pray and relieve a burden, so to speak. So I wanted to make a distinction there, because as believers, especially spirit-filled believers, you will have moments where the Lord is cautioning you, and there's a sense of, I've got to get serious right now. There's a serious prayer subject. There's a serious prayer theme, or a seriousness and a tone. But just don't confuse that with fear. Those of you that have heard our testimony about Danielle, prior to her birth, and she was born still, and the Lord raised her from the dead. But prior to that, I had that uneasiness, but it wasn't accompanied by fear. I spent extra time fasting and praying. Just any time I had extra time, I would pray in the Spirit, and the Lord started to speak to me about the birth and peace about it, that resolved that. But I knew that something was coming, and He gave me the sense. Pastor had coincidentally called a fast prior to that time and just said, hey, if you guys feel led to fast, we feel like there's a time of fasting. And that coincided really well. It led right up to Easter, which was where she was born around. And so when she was stillborn, there was a calm and a peace. But that had been prayed out. So I I just want to caution you that an unease, don't always rebuke a dis-ease in your spirit, for lack of a better word, that uneasiness. Don't always rebuke that as the spirit of fear. Because sometimes God's just cautioning you. So I just want to make a distinction there, because that will happen in the Christian's life, where God's just prepping you and He's letting you pray things out, and you'll walk through things that ordinarily would have caused you to stumble. You'll walk through them boldly with a divine protection and peace. And that's just honing in your ability to hear His voice.